town. The Apostle Paul, when he'd go to a new city, he would not go down and check out the Hilton. He'd go down and check out the local jail, because he knew if he preached as God had called him to, that's where he'd spend the night.
For more expository preaching from Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, tune in weeknights at 9 and Saturday mornings at 9 on The Truth. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you, thank you, thank you once again for joining us on Let's Face the Issues today. That telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Love to hear from you. We're talking about today evidences of the last days. We're living in the last days. Now, perhaps some of you that you do not hear from the pulpit your pastor preaching and teaching anything about eschatological prophetic future, perhaps this is news to you. I pray that it's not. I pray that you understand, as Christians in particular, that I'm speaking to today. I pray that we understand what it connotes when we talk about living in the last days. The rapture is the next thing on the calendar of God. Rapturus, the sudden seizure, the sudden snatching away of the bride of Christ out of this old world. That's the next thing on the calendar of God. Then the next thing after the rapture of the church is the stepping on the scene of the Antichrist to rule and to reign. He is the one that, by the way, in the scripture, another name for the Antichrist is the lawless one. We're setting the stage today in America. We're setting the stage today around the world of the lawlessness being put into place, the lawless one. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, may I say to you, that telephone number, let me remind you again, is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Let me remind you again, I'm looking at a headline. It's a massive article, and I've studied it before. I don't say that I'm the master on understanding all of Marxism, but I have studied Marxism and the source, the resources, and the plan and the program behind it. Headline I'm looking at, the Marxist playbook, how the U.S. was infiltrated from within. Let me just read you the introduction paragraph to this massive article. Throughout the 20th century, Marxist revolutionaries recognized that a direct violent uprising was highly unlikely to succeed in America. However, they developed a strategy based on infiltrating and subverting key cultural institutions. Now, need I say more? We're witnessing those key cultural institutions today being the media, the political agenda, the political machine, and the universities. That is, just as one article that I read recently said, we're witnessing the demise of truth, and without truth, America cannot withstand itself, cannot stand. And it said those major areas that deny and reject and do not embrace truth, the media, the government, and the academic world. May I say, ladies and gentlemen, those are the areas I'm looking at it, that I've got the entire timeline of the Marxist infiltration. and goes back to the 30s and the 50s, and it goes back from that point forward, and gradually, incrementally, fulfilling the goal of overthrowing and controlling the United States of America. And ladies and gentlemen, this is taking place today before our eyes. Let me remind you again, just before the news, I touched on it. There are 10 major points in Marxism. I boiled those 10 down to 3 points, and I think I can prove that unequivocally with what we see happening in America today. And those 3 main points in Marxism: divide the nation ethnically. That's called you're racist, you're Islamophobic, and it's dividing in that sense ethnically. Destroy the nuclear family. That's been on the fast track for the past 50 years. We're seeing the end result of it today. And by the way, as we destroy the nuclear family, we're witnessing the birth rate drop down dramatically. As a result of that, we're at the point now that we're not rebuilding or maintaining American population from within. We're witnessing, ladies and gentlemen, the demise of our nation because of the lack of producing sons and daughters to carry out the agenda that God has given us in the United States of America. Listen, every morning as we look at the headlines, it reminds us that the world is rapidly headed into utter destruction. Our world, our nation, our cities are moving, ladies and gentlemen, rapidly away from biblical truth. America, I believe, is now embracing secularism, Marxism, communism, false religions, moral depravity, and political philosophies that deny God, reject the Lord Jesus Christ, and open the doors, hear me, open the doors for God's judgment on our nation. It's an impossibility for God to continue to bless America as he has for 250 years if we continue to shut him out, if we continue to reject God, if we continue to reject the Lord Jesus Christ, if we continue to embrace socialism, Marxism, communism, and false religions. And we're witnessing today that taking place and that infiltration that's coming in. And because the mindset in America has been for the past 50, 60, 70 years in particular, that all religions are okay. That's not what the Constitution said or meant. Said true religion. You can't call Islam, jihadism, a true religion. It's a way of life. It is a forced submission, has been for 1400 years. I'm looking at the headline that says, California mayor abruptly resigns after admitting that she's been a spy since 2020 for China. U.S. Department of Justice announced that the mayor of Southern City in Southern California has agreed to plead guilty of operating as a spy for China. And it goes on to call her name, what she's been doing, etc. Mayor Wang, W-A-N-G, Wang, admitted to acting as a foreign agent, at least from 2020, promoting the Chinese Communist Party propaganda in America. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about these riots and these demonstrations and these movements. I'm looking at one headline that says, New Jersey police arrest Antifa protest at the ICE Center in Delaney Hall. New Jersey police scooped up the Antifa rioters blocking ICE Delaney Detention Center. Zero tolerance for rioters, said the post from the Department of Homeland Security after the police arrested many of the Antifa riots. We're witnessing these riots are not just happening genetically, if you will. They are being orchestrated, planned, and people are coming in from across the nation to city after city after city. Black Lives Matter, Palestinian movement, those that are the Islamic jihadists, those that are Antifa, those that are part and parcel of all that's harmful and dangerous to America. I think it's time that we recognize that you can't just say, well, the First Amendment right allows it. No, it doesn't. First Amendment right allows me to challenge my government, to confront my government, to say, I don't like this. This is wrong. It is unconstitutional. It does not give me the right to go out and riot, burn, and destroy, and harm police officers, and go against the law. that is lawlessness, and that's what we see today, displacing law-abiding citizens in America. And I think it's time that we do something. This is a horrible scene that we're seeing being carried out. Here's an article that's just part and parcel of the larger article I spoke about earlier. Headline, Karl Marx's Legacy in the United States. For nearly two centuries, Karl Marx's ideas have had a significant impact on U.S. politics and the intellectual life. In turn, Marx's close study of the U.S. informed the development of his ideas about capitalism and human freedom. Marxist theory is often assumed to be fundamentally alien to U.S. history. But when a memo from Donald Trump's Office of Management and Budget says, federal resources are being wasted on advancing Marxist equity, it's impossible to deny that Karl Marx looms large in American political life today. Let me read that again. When a memo from Donald Trump's Office of Management and Budget says federal resources are being wasted on advancing Marxist equity, this writer says, it's impossible then to deny that Karl Marx looms large in American political life. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what's happening today. We're witnessing the Marxist agenda being incrementally carried out in America. It is called cultural Marxism. So the question is, what do we do? How do we respond? We recognize it. We recognize the enemy. And according to Ephesians 6, we put on the whole armor of God and recognize the enemy and go to battle as God's called us to as Christians. I believe Woody is on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Lastly, you've chosen a tough topic, and you don't have much time to discuss it. let me add one thing instead of the 20 that I would like to talk about. Let's talk about just prior to the coming of cultural Marxism into this country in the 1930s, that what event set us up? What event indicated that pious, God-fearing America had changed its fabric so that the Roaring Twenties could happen, which God judged with the Great Depression, I believe you remember, and then began to put in more socialistic people like the Roosevelts to further degrade this country. But there's one thing, in my opinion, that brought us down, and it has to do with the education system that you've already talked about. I think it was President 28, but his name was Woodrow Wilson, the only PhD to serve as President of the United States, President of Princeton, if you will, and a progressive Democrat. Mm-hmm. He was the one that established the forerunner of the United Nations with the League of Nations. And he was the one that, because he was elected, showed us that the fabric of America had changed from being a pious, God-fearing nation because of the influence of the industrial and the Gilded Age, when America emerged first as a wealthy and powerful nation on the earth. That wealth, I believe, influenced our morality, produced what we saw in the 20s, which led to the Great Depression and led to the establishment in our national government of people like the Roosevelts. And Eleanor Roosevelt was the president. She was the 32nd president. It was not Franklin. And set up those institutions that today, those progressive institutions, they're being resurrected through the Democrats, and that our champion, Donald Trump, is rightly fighting. And the thing that we don't understand, and this is where I'm going to quit, what we don't understand is, in the latter days, and we have to be there. Mm-hmm. We have to be there. In my opinion, the 19th century was the point at which Daniel 12:4 is talking about, when men could finally go fast and the speed of the horse, and knowledge abounded. It produced America. It produced the global civilization that we have. But we have emerging from the shadows, the 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says, we have emerging from the shadows this evil one that's going to be set loose for a while. And he's going to be one of great power. Why do we think we see all these evil things taking place seemingly without any kind of retribution? These riots in New Jersey, oh, incidentally, that's where Princeton, New Jersey is, isn't it? And where that president came from. We do not see ability to stop this evil. That's because his power and cunning are great, as old Christian hymns have said. I don't want to build up Satan, but the Lord says in his word that in these latter days he's going to be a real force to be reckoned with, as he is all, as he's been all throughout history, but particularly today. We see it coming through the Democrat Party, and it goes all the way back to the libertine intellectualism of President Woodrow Wilson, president of Princeton University, and a man whose great natural intelligence led us into the dissolution of once great moral, pious America. End of dissertation.
Absolutely. Woody, let me ask you a couple of questions that I think would help our listeners tie some thoughts together. You and I both are familiar with it, but let's talk about it for just a moment. When it comes to, you talked about Princeton University. That was founded just as Harvard and others for religious mm-hmm. purposes. It wouldn't have been a far cry from that. And I know a part of Marxism, it was where Marx had the idea of, as one writer puts it, gradually dominate education, media, and religious institutions.
That's right.
We talk about that. I want you to expand on that for a moment for our listeners. For example, when it comes to what started taking place in the teachers' colleges then, it was called the early teacher colleges, Columbia University being part of it, introducing what I'm calling progressive educational theories that undermine traditional civic education and set up the basis for what was called collectivist and relativism of that era even today. Talk about that for a moment. I believe our listeners need to understand the really the when you get down to it, the rudimentary elemental if you please nest of that which we're suffering from today.
Lord help me to be able to make this brief and clear. I go back to the 19th century. That's when all the great isms that dominate our modern world today came up. Scientific materialism, Marxism, evolution continuing out of the 18th century, all these things that challenge the reality of Almighty God. That's when people began to say, maybe human wisdom is a lot better than, well, this old musty Bible is supposed to be the wisdom of God. We began to look to the human mind in the 19th century, when knowledge began to abound, to replace our dependency on God and the wisdom that comes from Him, because according to 1 Corinthians 2:16, we have the mind of Christ, and we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. We got away from that. We began to believe in this progressive intellectualism, and it replaced the seminary teachings of places like Harvard and Florida State University. Even began as a seminary, all your great colleges. In fact, it goes back to the 12th century with Thomas Aquinas, when religion became the basis of an education. We got away from that courtesy of this genius Woodrow Wilson, who happened to be the son of a Presbyterian minister, no less, and was steeped in the study of cultures and government. That's what he had a PhD in. And so he applied his libertine ideas to the governance of America and set up, because, well, he's a smart guy, he's a PhD, he set up the nation to align themselves with his thought processes and then to move forward into this stuff that the Roosevelts introduced for us and set in stone the cultural Marxism that was at the same time coming in to doing what Marx mm-hmm. said. Take down the seven mountains of culture: family, religion, government, law, education, et cetera, et cetera. Seven mountains of culture. And they've all been attacked by the Marxists progressively since the libertarian thought processes of that particular evil president, as I see him, Woodrow Wilson, with a great intellect, and then opening the door for the cultural Marxists to come in through the ages, actually the Anglican Church with the World Anglican Conventions in the early 30s, which took us off the human reproductive standards of life. That's another subject for another time, which has led to our decreased population that you so rightly addressed. We have believed a lie. We've taken our eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ and the book that teaches us how to live, and we've said, well, human wisdom, we can build a tower that reaches to heaven. No. We changed the fundamental nature of our culture in the 20s because of that president from, what was he, 1913 to 1921, who brought in these libertarian, well, we've advanced now, we're a wealthy, rich nation, and we're smart, and here's what we're going to do to build the new world. And it is a lie. We have believed a lie.
Absolutely.
And the educational system was what the cultural Marxists went to when they came to this country in the 30s, and they set up shop where? Columbia University. And from there, all the other Ivy League schools were corrupted. And education is really, these educational institutions are the one that provide the fabric for our government and our culture.
Absolutely. And Woody, if I could hold you for another moment, I'm looking at an article about the candidate in Texas that's running for one of the major seats there in Texas. It says, Democrats in red Texas bet on far-left Senate candidate who espouses a non-binary God with six genders. God is both masculine and feminine, everything in between, said James Tallarico, a state representative and now the Democrat nominee for the Senate. God is non-binary. The statement is parts of dozens of claims about God, Christianity, morality, Tallarico has made on campaign trail before he ran for higher office. He comes out of the Presbyterian Seminary.
There you
has,
go.
Has a Presbyterian Master of Divinity, and he's got all the answers when it comes to God. In fact, he refers to God as the big man upstairs. He refers to God as non-binary. He says that the Bible is silent on LGBTQ, that we need to embrace it. The Bible is silent on abortion, that Jesus never said that it was wrong, etc., etc., etc. Here's the part of the article that says, the statement in part of dozens of claims about God, Christianity, and morality that Tallarico has made in the campaign trail. Tallarico, currently a seminary student and affiliated with the PCUSA, a liberal Presbyterian denomination. The Democrats, or Tallarico, says that he is their firebrand, progressive Christianity, as a promising tool to flip Texas from red to blue. Now, my question is, after carrying that out, aren't we seeing, if you please, aren't we seeing a replay of yesteryear where we had the politicals coming in with the political ideas and the philosophical rhetoric that says, let's just follow the Marxist playbook. He's not saying those words. Isn't that what he's doing? Aren't we watching a replay with some of these candidates like that?
I think I chose Woodrow Wilson for a reason, Pastor. He happens to be a Presbyterian, USA, advocate all his life, the son of that kind of a minister. That denomination and others were beginning to adopt the socialistic Marxist ideas, apply them to Christianity, so that human wisdom and God's wisdom could be combined. History repeats itself. There's mm-hmm. nothing new under the sun. In fact, the first socially accepted manifestation of that virus that was injected into our culture was Woodrow Wilson. Mm-hmm. And that's all this, what do you want to call him, Tallarico or Tallarico? You know what I'm talking about, probably. Sorry. What James Tallarico is a recreation of Woodrow Wilson, pseudo-intellect with all sorts of muddied and diluted Christian values that I pray that the Baptists of Texas are going to repudiate. At this point, they're not doing a really good job.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I think, and I'll make this statement and let you respond if you like, I believe what we're witnessing is these events taking place and those political pundits are the tip of the spear that's bringing in and opening wide the door to what I call abandonment of the Christian heritage. It is what I believe it's our finding our nation in a free fall, morally, ethically, spiritually as a result. It appears that the it is increasingly accepted to be morally acceptable in America with what we hear the left, I call it the Socialist Marxist Communist Democrat Party, what we see with many like AOC and Tallarico and others that are in office and running for office, I say, and got a candidate that's running in, I believe it's in Maine, that's being sponsored by Bernie Sanders, that's a laughing stock of the world, and it is running for Senate. Now, my question is, with those statements, are we witnessing today the political agenda, either knowingly or not knowing, that's bringing in the further judgment of God on America?
We've been under the judgment of God. In fact, I could almost reread Jeremiah 15:6, you know, because of Manasseh, the judgment fell on God. Well, because of Bill Clinton and all that followed, judgment began falling on this country in the 90s. I'm praying that God will give us what 2 Kings 20 says was given to Hezekiah, another 15 years, even though he'd been condemned by God to a terrible death, and give us time to show the world what would have been if we had followed Christ, to call those out who are going to be raptured out or have an opportunity to be, so that 7 years that are going to follow of real horror, there'll be a testimony to God on record just before the rapture of what could have been and what's coming 7 years later with the millennium when Jesus Christ rules with an iron fist, not as a meek lamb, and all the world will understand that God meant what he said. He gave us the key to the abundant life, and because we chose to be ignorant of his word, we have caused what we're in the middle of right now, and which is a brief abatement of God's judgment, but it's going to continue very soon when God has finished using Mr. Trump. That's my opinion.
Absolutely. Woody, I'm thankful for you. Thank you so much for joining in the discussion and adding a major, major element to our thoughts today. Thank you, and God bless you as we keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to read one sentence out of a larger article. It says, Christians are encouraged to engage in politics. Stand up for our beliefs. It's important to do it in the way that reflects our faith and our values. And the further sentence says, Christians ought to be in action and stand up and align with the teachings of the Lord Jesus by voting for and electing candidates that reflect Christian values in our nation today. And may I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, that's needed more than anything I could espouse, even at this moment. We need to stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen as Christians. We need to be salt and light while there's opportunity to retard the deterioration and to illumine the darkened society. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM. 91.7 FM.